Reports that Trey Lance underwhelmed the San Francisco 49ers as a rookie after they traded so much draft capital to go up and get him. Do those reports sound right? Do they make sense to us? We've got some information to share on that subject. And it was never a doubt, Croc. Debo Samuel following back the 49ers on Instagram. We'll get into everything going on with the San Francisco 49ers right now.
You are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, Brian Peacock and Eric Crocker at the Peacock at Eric underscore Crocker on Twitter. Thanks for making Locked On 49ers your first listen here on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Croc. The latest going on with the 49ers. We were going to talk about another prospect today and get into the scouting report and the position group on the edge players with the 49ers that's really deep now, and talk second round pick Drake Jackson. We'll push that back to YouTube Sunday night and into Monday's episode of Locked On 49ers, because there's a little bit of news today and I think it's going to take up the whole episode, and I want to dive into this stuff. I want to start with Debo Samuel, because and shout out to Steph Sanchez on Twitter, who was the first I saw to bring this about, and I'm glad there are people out there that are following this type of thing and scrubbing social media so I don't have to. And I kind of made fun of the whole Debo Samuel and social media thing before, and then that thing with Debo got more and more serious before the draft, and then he asked for a trade, obviously, right? So there's something to all of that in the end. And then him following back now, the San Francisco 49ers. So he made it a point to unfollow and now follow back. So to me, it's not nothing. And are we inching closer, Croc, to the Debo Samuel signing, which I knew all along, never a doubt, was going to happen. Debo Samuel's going to stay with the 49ers. Following the 49ers back now, Instagram, where does this rank for you on the Debo Samuel coming home and staying home scenario?
Well, it feels like he's a guy that likes to kind of let people know where he's at emotionally. And, you know, we saw the scrubbing thing. And I think originally both of us were like, oh, it's not that big of a deal. And then it was like, oh, I think it is kind of a big deal. And obviously it was. So I do think that him following the 49ers back kind of lets you know a little bit about how he's feeling right now. And I think he's heading towards more so being like, you know what, maybe I will be a 49er. Now, is that by choice? Or not, right? Because the 49ers are like, we're not trading you. We didn't get good enough offers. And maybe Debo Samuel's like, all right, I mean, I guess I'll stay here. You know, there's that. But he seems like someone who likes to let people know how he feels. And I think he feels a little bit happy about wherever things are headed.
Maybe the 49ers up their offer to the point where he's okay now. Or maybe they just had some conversation. You know, post-draft, when things calm down, I wonder if you finally returned some calls to Kyle or John, or they had a sit-down, or they had some kind of meeting. Or maybe they just realized, okay, look, we tried this play. It didn't work. It worked for Tory Dandy's other client, A.J. Brown. He got traded. He got paid. And Hollywood Brown, also his client, also got traded, also got paid. Now they're – or actually, he's not going to get paid quite yet by the Arizona Cardinals because I've got that fifth-year option. But from the same draft class. And now,
and also real quick, also a different situation. Hollywood Brown didn't like his usage, like just as a receiver. And he's like, dude, I'm getting held back here. I got to go. So, you know, that's a little different than like just being a money issue.
Yeah. And he had requested a trade early on in the process. What's funny is that his quarterback, Lamar Jackson, didn't know that. And when he was traded, his quarterback was blindsided. And then now we'll find out, oh, he wanted out. This wasn't just like a Ravens thing. He wanted out. He wanted away from me. So that's interesting there. So and these stories can kind of tie in. We'll get into that with Debo Samuel in a second, potentially. But when it comes to the 49ers and Debo Samuel and them seeing that there was no offer good enough for the 49ers to trade Debo before the draft, there's much less likely to be an offer post-draft now that the 49ers would take to trade away Debo Samuel. So really, they have no choice. If he wants a new deal this offseason, it has to be with the 49ers. So I think they got to come to the table and they got to try to figure this thing out. And I think it's the best for everybody. And I think that is the path that we're on, I feel pretty good that Debo Samuel is going to be signed by July. And by training camp, he'll be back with the 49ers.
And I think you feel really good about that. I think the 49ers feel good about just the thought of him being back on the team. And you're much better with him than without him. Like, that's clear. Just what he brings, the void that he fills, especially having a young quarterback that's going to need that guy who he can just throw a screen route to and he can take it 50 yards on his own because he's that terrific of a football player. Looks like he's working out hard. I know a lot of people are, but he's not there, you know, during OTAs while you are kind of required to work out with the team and get in shape and do those things. He's away right now, but still feels like he's taking things serious with his training and getting in shape. See him doing the boxing stuff and some resistance band stuff. So, you know, I think a lot of that is encouraging enough to know, like, you know what, if he is back, he's going to be the best version of himself. And that's good.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't have any worries that Debo is not going to come in with his head right and come in good shape and be ready to play. So I don't think the 49ers are worried about that either. And hopefully, you know, just a little bit of time here between whatever went on at the beginning of negotiations, now post-draft, there's a better line of communication, and hopefully the 49ers and Debo can figure that out. And they've got a really good framework to try to figure out that new contract too, with what AJ Brown got from the Philadelphia Eagles. And Sarkis on Twitter has a good point. He said, "Hey fellas, love the pod. Regarding the AJ Brown contract, one thing that keeps getting left out of the conversation is it's essentially a 5-year deal. The 100 million 4-year extension is after his rookie contract is over, with a modest $5 million in 2022, putting the average per year at about $21 million if you factor in this year plus the 4-year extension, which is good news for the 49ers organization," he says. And and I didn't know that about, and I haven't really seen the reporting on exactly how that contract is structured. Actually, I can kind of look for it now. And I
saw 4 years, $100 million.
And if that is starting after his rookie contract next year is what he's saying. So counting this year, it's five more years on his contract. And then you can spread around a signing bonus that way, and you can keep the if you're counting it, then it's $21 million per year. You're not paying him $25 million per year. This year is essentially,
I don't think you can do that because it's not a part of this contract. Like, that's in new money, right? That's 4 years, $100 million in new money.
Yes, it's a 4-year, $100 million contract. Either way, it's just, is it starting in 2022 or is it starting in 2023? And yes, it is starting in 2023. I'm looking at the official numbers right now. So the cap number is his normal cap number. It would have been, even if he didn't sign a contract this year in 2022, the new contract starts in 2023. They've got a pretty low cap number there, only $8 million against the cap in 2023. Then it balloons up with cap numbers of $27 million, $22 million. And then in the last year, in 2026, it is $37 million, and I wonder if he's going to see that, right, Croc? About that, and I think, yeah. And then there's and then for salary cap reasons, there's actually a void year on it as well in 2027 to spread that signing bonus out a little bit further. And actually, I didn't know about the void year, and I didn't know that it was structured with that base salary being $30 million plus the $7 million of prorated signing bonus in 2026. So let's do some quick math here, Croc. And we had talked about this, how, you know, if Debo wants to get to $25 million per year, as A.J. Brown did, you could do some funny stuff and really not even get there to even paying him that much in future years. So he's got that new contract doesn't start until 2023. And then it is a $100 million contract over 4 years. The last year of it is $30 million. If they were to cut A.J. Brown before 2026, which would mean he's with the Eagles for four more years, two cheap years, and then 2 years at $27 and $22 million cap hits, that would be about $23 million per year for those first 3 years of the contract if they don't want to pay him that $30 million base salary season in 2026. So now we're talking about $23 million average per year for A.J. Brown in Philly, starting next year, not counting 2022. So that's 2023, 24, and 25, $23 million per year if he doesn't see the last year of his contract in 2026. Who knows what wide receivers will be getting paid by then? Who knows if that'll be a bargain if A.J. Brown is still a star player and they'll want to pay him the $30 million base salary in 2026? I don't know what the salary cap will look like then, but interesting how that is structured. And when I look at that and you look at 2022 not being affected at all. And maybe the 49ers could come in with like, hey, look, once maybe Jimmy's gone or Jimmy's traded. And by the way, there is some rumor out there that I saw today that I think it was Ian Rappaport saying that that the Carolina Panthers might double back with the 49ers after they see how their quarterbacks, Matt Corral and Sam Darnold, look this spring. So that's something. And apparently the talks about Baker Mayfield with Carolina went nowhere because Carolina's not touching that contract and the Browns don't want to pay any of it. So that's where we're at.
The same thing with Jimmy Garoppolo then, right?
Well, yes and no, because Baker's is guaranteed. Jimmy's is not. I think Jimmy would restructure, whereas Baker doesn't have any reason to do that because he's getting paid 18 no matter what, and he probably wants to be a free agent next year. So the contracts are different, and I think that kind of changes things. And who knows if Carolina prefers Jimmy maybe over Baker anyway. And maybe that was the team the Niners had talked to, and then the shoulder surgery changed things. But what if the 49ers come in then and say, okay, Debo, we'll do you one better than A.J. Brown. We'll tear up your old contract, and we'll start your new base salary right now in 2022, pay you more now, and, you know, make it a five-year deal. Yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of ways they could structure it and make it look a little bit different, and I think it'll be fine. Like, I'm looking at this contract. I'm looking at what the 49ers could do with Debo Samuel, and I'm sure they'll structure it the same way where the last year of the deal is $35 million, and if Debo gets hurt, they could get out of it before the end of the contract. And if he sees the whole thing, then maybe he will actually make $25 million per year. So the guarantees are a big one to look at for Debo Samuel. And I don't think there's any reason that they cannot get that deal done. Get Debo paid and get him some guarantees so you can utilize him the way you need to utilize him. And he can play free and go out there and be the beast he was with the 49ers last year. Next. Let's talk trade Lance, and that might creep into the Jimmy Garoppolo stuff might creep into that conversation as well. Latest reports about Trey Lance underwhelming the San Francisco 49ers coming up next, but I want to tell the folks out there about BlueNile.com. From creating the custom engagement ring of her dreams to gifting a classic and timeless jewelry piece, all at prices you won't find at a traditional jeweler. Whether she prefers a statement piece or everyday subtle elegance, BlueNile.com has fine jewelry options for every mom. Shop high-quality classic diamond rings, elegant tennis bracelets, or gemstone pendant necklaces. And the best part, if you're having trouble choosing, which I definitely do if I'm ever shopping for anything for a woman in my life, or especially for jewelry, Blue Nile has jewelry experts on hand 24/7, available via phone or chat to help you find a memorable gift at every budget. So this Mother's Day, give mom something she'll treasure forever with fine jewelry from BlueNile.com. And Locked On 49ers listeners will get $50 off a $500 purchase. This podcast exclusive is only good through Mother's Day, so act fast. Use code Locked On. That is code Locked On. Plus, every order is insured, ships free, and arrives in discreet packaging that won't give away what's inside. Shop stress-free and find your forever peace. Go to BlueNile.com today. And if you need a little extra cash to go buy a present for mom, maybe you can make some at BetOnline.net, your number one source for all your betting stats and sports information, as well as wagering. Find all the latest sports developments, NFL, Rookie of the Year, Offensive Defensive Player of the Years as rookies, the next Super Bowl teams, not only football that you can still bet on at BetOnline, NBA playoffs, Major League Baseball, and this weekend's run for the Roses at the Kentucky Derby. BetOnline, your continued source for all sports wagering, playoffs, live betting, esports, and more. Just head over to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action at BetOnline, where the game starts. Okay, Croc, and we've heard some things behind the scenes about what's going on with Trey Lance, how he was as a rookie, maybe some thoughts inside the organization before he was drafted. And Matt Lombardo, at on Twitter, Matt Lombardo, NFL, said, quote, I have heard that the 49ers staff has been continually underwhelmed by Trey Lance. And that was in a response to a tweet by Hayden Winks at Hayden Winks on Twitter, who said, if Jimmy G stays on the 49ers this year, I'm convinced Shanahan wanted Mac Jones and was forced into Lance. And of course, that sort of a conversation is stemming from Jimmy Garoppolo still on the roster and John Lynch broadcasting it out there that he's willing to hold on to Jimmy Garoppolo through the season, that he's too good of a player that you don't want to give up. And we've heard Kyle Shanahan say the same thing. So on the Jimmy Garoppolo side of things, I will say this. If you want to trade Jimmy Garoppolo, you have to put the message out there that you're willing to hold on to him, that he has value to your franchise. Or you're not going to get any kind of offers, and they're just teams are just going to wait for you to cut him. And maybe teams will still believe that and still do that, just like the Rappaport report.
People shouldn't take that lightly. I feel like, you know, it's true. Like, he has value to the 49ers. In the two full seasons that he played, they went to two NFC championship games and a Super Bowl. Whether he's the reason, and we can point to all kinds of other reasons as to why the 49ers won some of those games, but the fact of the matter is, when he starts for the season, you win games. So there is value in that. He's not some scrub like Sam Darnold who just is super inconsistent, right? Jimmy has weird moments. Jimmy leaves you wanting a little bit more. But also Jimmy wins. So when they say that, look, we got some value here, I understand it from that perspective.
Yes, absolutely. And Jimmy has value. 49ers are going to play this out, see what things look like once he's able to throw. They'll learn more about Trey Lance during that time as well. They will protect themselves for injury and potentially have some value if another team loses a quarterback.
I got a question.
Yes.
Have you seen another, you know, team or whatever where a quarterback was winning games at the rate that Jimmy Garoppolo? And again, I know QB wins is not a stat. I get that. But just a quarterback on the roster winning a lot of games and was either cut or shipped off. I can only think of one other guy off the top of my head. Do you know who that is?
I can't think of any. And I've
Jared Goff. Like, that's the only guy. And I think they're who they are is kind of comparable in the sense of kind of how they play. And some people might even think at Goff's peak was kind of better than Jimmy Garoppolo's peak, right? Like, you can kind of make that argument. But a coach said, hey, we want to get rid of him now. Here's the tough thing. They didn't get rid of Jared Goff for a rookie that they traded, you know, third overall pick for. They got rid of Jared Goff for Matthew Stafford. Right. Who they felt was just a better quarterback, and not even felt, we know is the better quarterback, but he was just in the crappiest of situations in Detroit. So it's a very unique situation that they put themselves in, and I feel like it kind of stems from holding on to Jimmy Garoppolo last season, but we kind of understand as to why they did. But I think more and more, the longer this goes on, you can see how that could have really been the wrong way to go about it.
Yeah, that was with the Jared Goff and Matthew Stafford thing. That was a clear and obvious upgrade. Jared Goff would have told you that Matthew Stafford was an upgrade to Jared Goff, right? So that was that was an obvious move for a now player that we know is better now, and they upgraded a quarterback. And what's funny is that Jared Goff was seen as still having value too from the Detroit Lions, and who still didn't go out and get a quarterback, right? They weren't trading up for Malik Willis, which is, I thought, was what they were doing at pick 12, and they weren't going and drafting Kenny Pickett. They were going to get a wide receiver for their current quarterback in Jared Goff. And by the way, their front office coming over from the Rams, so they knew Jared Goff. So there's still some value for that player. And so I feel the same way about Jimmy Garoppolo, and I think there's some teams that probably do feel the same way about Jimmy G. If he didn't have the shoulder surgery, I think Garoppolo would already be on another team. I don't know if that's Washington, Carolina, Indianapolis, but he would have been on another team already. There's another wrinkle to it with Jimmy G, and I think the biggest reason right now, if you're the 49ers, why you would not just cut Jimmy Garoppolo, even when you get to July, when he's healthy and he's throwing again, is because you don't want the Seahawks to pick him up. That's where he would go. Or at least, you know, the Seahawks would be calling Jimmy Garoppolo, and they've got the worst quarterback situation right now in the league in Drew Lock. Probably they didn't do anything in the draft to replace Drew Lock. Like, they're all in with Drew Lock, and Jimmy Garoppolo would win that competition in a heartbeat. And you know that John Schneider and Pete Carroll love picking up ex-49ers, and what better than to pick Jimmy Garoppolo's brain about Kyle Shanahan's offense than to pick up Jimmy Garoppolo? And look, some fans out there, I'm sure it's already been typed in the comments on YouTube, right? Or someone's tweeting at us right now, at BD Peacock, at Eric_Crocker. Good. I hope the Seahawks would sign Jimmy Garoppolo. because we think Jimmy Garoppolo is terrible and they would lose a bunch of games. And that doesn't scare me. But I know the 49ers would not feel the same way and would not want a team just to go pick up Jimmy Garoppolo for free, especially the Seattle Seahawks, which would probably be the most likely destination for him if he was cut at this point.
Right.
Do you think, Croc, that any part of Deebo Samuel's business right now has to do with Trey Lance becoming the quarterback and underwhelming in his rookie season? And he saw that and he thought, oh man, I would be better off with Jared Goff and the Detroit Lions, who were one of the teams that made an offer for him. Or do you think that Deebo's following back the 49ers because he woke up after the draft and was like, thank God the Detroit Lions did not trade for me because I could have ended up in NFL purgatory for the rest of my career.
So is that the report, just so that we're clear, is that a report, the underwhelming thing, is it going back to his rookie year, or is that an OTA thing now? Because I thought it was like right now during OTAs, they're underwhelmed from what they've seen.
Here's the wording on the report. The wording is continually underwhelmed, which would make me think that they were underwhelmed before and they still are. Matt Lombardo, at Matt Lombardo NFL, says, I have heard that the 49ers staff has been continually underwhelmed by Trey Lance. Ben is like a past tense thing, has been continually underwhelmed. Look, they've had one OTA. I don't know what they could have really learned about Trey Lance this offseason so far that they wouldn't have already known. So this to me goes back to last year and how he was as a rookie. That's how I read it.
And now here's my question as well, because we have heard a lot about the situation and, well, he just needs to play. Like, it's hard for him to continue to improve if he doesn't get those live reps and things like that. You know, what part of Trey Lance are they underwhelmed with? And that would be, you know, because again, we did watch Trey Lance, and I always go back to that. And I'm not saying that the Texans game was just this amazing game, but he played against Arizona Cardinals, and you were able to at the very least see where he was at. And it's like, okay, it needs work. You know, you see the way Kyle Shanahan called plays for him. I don't think that's the way Kyle Shanahan wants to call plays for anyone, right? But everybody blamed Kyle for that. And maybe it wasn't really Kyle. Maybe Kyle felt like, hey, my hands are tied because he can't really do much right now. But then we saw the Texans game, and for the most part, it was a different offense and with how he called plays and things like that. But you could still see some uneasiness with Trey Lance. But within that, I still came away with, hey, he's headed in the right direction. So how much underwhelmed were you by his performance, his live performance against the Houston Texans, where if you box score scout, he played well. If you watch some of the throws and things that he made, it was solid. And you could see, hey, this was good. This drive throw was good. Dan Orlovsky, he put out a whole thing where he's like, man, look at this throw. Anticipation, look at this throw. Like, he did some good things. So, I mean, how, and again, I think you can definitely be underwhelmed by just a rookie in general, right? Like, how did Jacksonville feel about whatever they saw from Trevor Lawrence? Or how did New York feel about whatever they saw from Zach Wilson? I would assume if you just asked for an honest assessment of where they were at that time, you'd probably be underwhelmed, right? Justin Fields, you'd probably be underwhelmed. Hell, you might even ask our guy, Bill Belichick, hey, you know, last five games, how'd you feel about Mac Jones, who threw 7 interceptions in those last 5 games, and the only game he did throw a pick in was against the Jacksonville Jaguars. So he threw no pick in that, and he won that game. The other 4 games, they lost every one of them, including getting blown out, you know, in Buffalo, and he threw 7 picks. Again, I'm not saying that he didn't have a solid rookie year. I'm just saying, could he have been a little underwhelmed by it? So I guess what I'm trying to get to is, what part of Trey Lance's game are they underwhelmed with that is not ideal for a rookie quarterback?
Okay, more on that. A rookie quarterback, what is even to be expected from Trey Lance last year as a rookie? And my thoughts on the reports of the 49ers being underwhelmed and the whole process of the rookie season and to where we are right now with Trey Lance and the San Francisco 49ers. But I want to let the folks out there know about Built Bar. And with summer coming, you know you're going to need some food on the go. Built Bars are the perfect snack to take with you on family vacations. Throw them in your bags, in your kids' backpacks. Make sure everyone has a bar so you know they are fueled for your summer adventures. The best part about Built Bars, though, is that they taste great and they are healthy for you. It is the perfect combination because you're not going to reach for the healthy snacks if they don't taste good. And I've tried that, and they do not get eaten, and they end up going bad by their expiration. You throw them away. Built Bars are not that way. You will go through them very quickly because you don't feel like you're eating something healthy. You feel like you are getting a treat. Built Bars are covered in 100% delicious and real chocolate. So you get both. It's super easy decision to make at built.com to get that delicious food that is also healthy for you. You do not feel like you're sacrificing anything. Tons of flavors, new flavors, seasonal flavors coming all the time at built.com. Most Built bars contain only 130 calories and have only 4 grams of sugar, yet carry 17 grams of protein. So get yourself some Built bars at built.com. Use promo code locked15 and get 15% off your order. That is promo code locked15 for 15% off at built.com. Okay, Croc, the 49ers staff has been, quote, continually underwhelmed by Trey Lance. Let's go back to the draft. Do you remember how crazy it was before the draft in 2021? The Niners traded up to 3. We knew it was a quarterback. And then we argued for a month straight about who that quarterback should be. I can't possibly imagine that every coach, every scout, every member of the front office, I bet even John Lynch, Kyle Shanahan, Adam Peters were all ownership. I bet they were all torn on which quarterback to take. And Kyle Shanahan talked about how they loved all 3 guys. So, you know, there was people in the building that had opinions that were heard that maybe liked one of the other quarterbacks over Trey Lance. Like, it would be insane to think that everybody in the organization all loved Trey Lance from the very beginning. And they even said they didn't even know which quarterback they liked yet when they made the trade to go up to number 3. They just knew there were some good ones and they wanted to go up, and they paid a little extra to make sure they were able to choose their guy.
I think if you ask most fans, I mean, they were split, right? There were some who loved Trey Lance. There were some who loved Mac Jones, and there are a lot that love Mac Jones. And there were some that were really high on Justin Fields. So, you know, just the human element of things, of course, everyone's not going to see quarterback position the same. So everyone's not going to see what goes into the development of the quarterback the same. And everyone's not going to see, you know, they're not just not all going to agree on it. So I think that you'd be right on and be able to say that. And I don't think that they're wrong for guys having a different opinion. Hell, my wife and I, we had a different opinion on how to set up these new sofas, right? We're in the house together. We have to figure out a compromise on that.
And ultimately, someone has to make a decision, right? So the idea that Shanahan wanted Mac Jones, though, I think we can debunk that, right, with information we have.
We 100% have information that was not the case.
Yeah, and I'm sure there were some people in the organization.
Oh, wait. Not that he didn't want him. That was his guy over Trey Lance.
Over Trey Lance, right. Because
he clearly liked him.
The quarterback in the end that Kyle Shanahan wanted is the quarterback that Kyle Shanahan got.
It is the quarterback that he picked.
Yes. If Kyle Shanahan wanted Mac Jones would be a 49er right now.
And it wasn't a pressure type thing or anything like that. Like, that was his, like, Trey Lance is my guy.
Now, here's the other thing is there. I know there are coaches that are currently not on the 49ers that, and probably this is where some of this is coming from, right? Matt Lombardo is a reporter out of Philadelphia. So you can connect some dots if you want. There are people that maybe didn't have the biggest opinion of Trey Lance, maybe before the draft, maybe through his rookie season. But I don't think that I don't think that the organization and the folks that are still there and the current coaching staff and John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan, I don't think they are the ones that would be underwhelmed by Trey Lance because multiple reasons. You touched on some of it. They wanted to trade Jimmy Garoppolo. Jimmy Garoppolo wouldn't be here. The plan is to go ahead with Trey Lance. Like, that is the plan. And the other part of that is, what do you expect from a rookie? Peyton Manning, Hall of Fame Peyton Manning, was absolute garbage as a rookie. His numbers were as bad as any of the other quarterbacks we've seen, right? And you talked about the progression that we saw. We didn't see in practice. Maybe he was god-awful the week of the Texans game in practice and showed up in the game, was actually better than he was in the first game. But you could tell by the way that Kyle Shanahan used Trey Lance that he didn't believe he was ready. He ran the dude 16 times, was running QB power after QB power with his rookie quarterback. He didn't quite know how to use Trey Lance and was certainly not using his full offense for Trey Lance in his first start as a rookie. And you'd be crazy to think that Trey Lance would be ready to play after playing one season of FCS football, and that season wasn't even the year before he got drafted. So I see a report like this, and I'm sure somebody is telling him something, and I have a feeling I know who it is, and it's someone who's not in the 49ers organization right now. I think the 49ers organization likes Trey Lance, and the people that are there are very confident with what he's going to be able to do going forward. And I don't know what you could expect for Trey Lance as a rookie quarterback or any rookie quarterback in the NFL to do as a rookie and how ready you would expect that player to be.
And I think that's the issue, right? Like, how ready does a guy have to be? And maybe you look at a guy like Mac Jones and say, well, he was ready. And, you know, it was resulting in more wins than what we saw from the other rookie quarterbacks. You also could say, well, Mac Jones also in the New England Patriots started out 2-4. And Mac Jones and the Patriots were able to win a game where he threw the ball 3 times. And again, I keep going back to the end of the season where the quarterback's supposed to be getting better as the season goes on. Well, Patriots lost 4 out of the last 5 games. The only win was against Jacksonville, and he threw 7 interceptions in those games. So all these quarterbacks, they're supposed to go through ups and downs. And unfortunately for Trey Lance, he wasn't allowed that opportunity. I think that's what's the toughest thing, because he's walking into an organization where this guy that came before you took the team to, or, you know, was the quarterback of a team that went to 2 NFC championship games in the Super Bowl. And however you feel about Jimmy Garoppolo, like, that happened. And that was one of the things that a lot of people were like, you, when you have Jimmy on the roster still, you leave the door open for this, the conversation that we're having right now, where if Trey Lance just plays and he looks like a rookie, I don't think anybody bats an eye, because you see him look like a rookie at the same pace as all the other rookies, and you let him work through it and go through his ups and downs. Now you have all these guys that have pretty much a year worth of experience and ups and downs or whatever, but you're also looking at their teams like it's not the 49ers, and the 49ers had the opportunity to not look like this 49ers if they would have played Trey Lance last year, because that was a team that had 4 or 5 wins or whatever they had the year before. It wasn't a great record. So I think if the 49ers would have went from 6 wins, I think that's what they had, 6 wins in 2020, 6 wins to, oh, you win 8 games with Trey Lance, you feel way more confident about where you're headed with him. But instead, you win 10 games, go to the NFC Championship game, and you barely kind of squeaked into the playoffs, really. You needed, I don't want to say luck, but Jimmy Garoppolo kind of turned into a hero at the end, right? And Deebo Samuel, shout out to him and all those guys that contribute to that Rams game. But you needed some guys to really, like, kind of, I feel like it kind of made the season look like something that it wasn't. Like, the 49ers just weren't this dominant team, but, oh, man, they're in the NFC Championship game, and now Trey Lance, by the way, without having the opportunity to play as a rookie, without having the opportunity to have the rookie lumps as everyone else, you have to go in and be better than Jimmy Garoppolo, which to me, I've always said, I don't care what anybody says about Jimmy, he's a legit starting NFL quarterback. And he played a lot in the NFL. I think it's hard to just say, oh, Trey Lance is going to come in and right away just look better than what we saw from Jimmy.
And there's so much that goes into playing NFL quarterback. And it's from Tuesday through Saturday, the preparation, the pre-snap preparation. It's not just your foot speed. It's not just your arm strength. There's so much that goes into it, making calls, right? That's why we were talking about Alex Mack and what it would look like if Mack retired, and you're not going to throw a rookie center in there with a second year quarterback, and who's making the calls, right? So there's a lot that goes into playing quarterback in the NFL. There's a lot to learn for Trey Lance. There's a big learning curve. Really, really young player, the youngest player in the draft last year. And so I think you have to slow down. And the thing is, nobody knows. Kyle Shanahan does not know. We don't know. Whoever was talking to this reporter doesn't know what Trey Lance even is yet, because we still haven't found out. Nobody knows. Trey Lance himself doesn't know. And he needs to go through and see those live bullets and see the speed of the game and develop and use that last part of development, which is preparing every week for being the starter and actually being the starter and playing in those NFL games to become a really good NFL player. And we've seen so many young quarterbacks be really bad and underwhelmed. You think the You think the Buffalo Bills were super impressed by Josh Allen's rookie season when he completed like 52% of his passes or whatever it was, and they were going all
I would them. Say they were maybe underwhelmed.
They might be 2 years.
Like, yeah. I know they won 10 games. Again, Buffalo's been a good – here's the thing that everybody kind of leaves out with the context of Josh Allen. That team was in the playoffs the year before they drafted him. So they were in the playoffs, then they drafted Josh Allen, and then they were not in the playoffs. Obviously I think the expectation 49ers have gone far, but they were in the playoffs with like Tyrod Taylor and Nathan Peterman or some bull crap. And then you draft Josh Allen. He goes, what, I think 5-6, I believe, because he played like 11 games. 52% of his passes he completed. He threw more interceptions than touchdowns. And then the following year, although they did win 10 games, and I think this is more on par with what maybe we could see from Trey Lance, it still wasn't great. He still hit 58% passer. 20 touchdown passes to 9 interceptions. I don't have his rushing touchdown. This is off the top of my head because I've seen it so much. And blew a 16-0 lead in the playoff game, wild card game, against the Deshaun-led Houston Texans. So even then, it wasn't were they underwhelmed by that performance? You know, like there are some things there that what do you expect for a guy that just needs reps, that needs to play, that needs to learn how to execute, that needs to learn how to play at a high level? What are the expectations for that? And I feel like for Trey Lance, more so than anyone else in this class, the expectations for the guy that has the least experience is the highest.
Absolutely. And I think the best anecdote as far as rookie quarterbacks go involves the 49ers. And you got to go all the way back to, was it 1998? And the famous Jim Mora playoffs post-game speech. That was after rookie Peyton Manning threw 4 interceptions to the 49ers. Right? That is famous. Like, you know, how underwhelmed were the Colts with Peyton Manning, with rookie Peyton Manning, right? So you'd be insane to expect everybody in the organization was in lockstep about Trey Lance all along, pre-draft and the trade to move up. And I have a sneaking suspicion it was Kyle and John that decided to trade up and didn't even ask anybody's input, because that seemed like definitely not an orchestrated move from everybody being in lockstep in the organization. From that to who to draft, you know, there was some disagreement in the draft room, and some people were probably in the Team Jones, Team Fields, and of course Team Lance. And in the end, Kyle Shanahan was not going to draft the quarterback that he didn't want to draft, and so that quarterback was Trey Lance. And you'd be crazy to expect more from a rookie quarterback than what we saw, especially looking at what the other rookie quarterbacks have done historically in the NFL, and what the rookie quarterbacks did last year that were drafted around Trey Lance. And you'd be crazy to think that you know exactly how this whole thing is going to play out. Now, you can have some problems with the process of the trade up and all of that and how they landed on what they did, and that's a different conversation. But right now, the underwhelmed part about Trey Lance coming into the year, I don't put much stock into it, but clearly, you know, there was some disagreement about Lance, and I think some of those people aren't coaching the 49ers anymore.
I'll say this. You talked a lot about what we don't know, right? The unknown with some of the process. Or players and young guys and quarterbacks and how they're going to perform. But one thing that we do know, because you heard it every turn throughout the process, is the person that Trey Lance is, the hard worker that Trey Lance is, how intelligent Trey Lance is. And you have to bank on the fact that Trey Lance will figure it out. So let him go through these moments. Let him go through these things that he needs to learn and improve on. Let him be underwhelming so that he can figure out to be overwhelming or whatever you want to say. But he has to go through the process of figuring it out. And if someone is made for that, it's him. And he's been through this process, whether it's at North Dakota State, trying to figure it out, having to beat out a transfer that came in from Power 5, you know, going undefeated, winning every game. Not every game was pretty. Playing in some crazy weather in a championship game in the FCS and saying, all right, we're just going to run the ball 30 times. I'm going to run for 160 yards. Just figuring it out. I think he's the epitome of figuring it out. And I think this is another situation where you draft him because of the person he is, and you bank on the fact that through this spring and summer and training camp, Trey Lance will figure it out. Regardless of wherever he's at right now, that won't be where he's at by the end of the football season.
And being a raw quarterback, rookie struggles, that wouldn't be the red flag. because every Hall of Fame quarterback has gone through that. The red flag would be if he didn't have his head screwed on straight, if he didn't work hard, if he wasn't smart, if he wasn't really willing to put in the work and put in the time to figure things out and be that guy. And from everything we know about Trey Lance, that was the reason why he was the guy. And that's not the case with him. So that would be the red flag. And I don't have any reason to believe that he's a different guy than the guy they thought they were drafting a year ago.
And this is not me defending him. I would defend any football player, you know, to find out who he is. I was just on John Chapman's podcast and he asked me about who's the guy you know, they didn't have any gold star helmets, but who would be that guy? And did you hear what my answer was?
No, I didn't hear.
My answer was Kastro Fields, because he DM'd me, and Kastro Fields DM'd me. He asked me, what are you seeing? Where can I improve? What do I need to get better? And just him going out of his way to ask a random guy on Twitter, who, I mean, he said he had been following me for a while, but a random guy, you know, hey, can you give me some constructive criticism on my game so I can improve? That's the type of guy that Eric Crocker is going to believe. He's going to figure it out. And Trey Lance has that same stuff. I'd go to bat for anyone that has that type of will to improve, because I know where we start. I remember where this podcast started with you and I, where people were like, oh, hell nah, right? Remember that? Like, why Peacock bring on Croc? Oh, the dynamics, man. Oh, they don't have any chemistry. They don't have this and that. And now all the reviews are the complete opposite, except for someone saying we don't answer enough of the people's questions. So maybe we have to get to that.
Yeah. We'll get into some more questions. Yeah, we got to do more of that. We'll do some more mailbags. We'll get into some of the questions. And shout out to Tariq Kastro Fields. If he's listening to this podcast, he probably should have checked into yesterday's podcast. And we gave our scouting report on him. And we'll continue to give our scouting reports on all of the rookie draft picks for the 49ers. Thanks, everybody, for making us your first listen here on the Locked On Podcast Network. For your second listen, go check out Croc doing Locked On NFL Draft. Congrats, Croc, by the way, this week for having the top two podcasts on the Locked On Podcast Network in Locked On NFL Draft and Locked On 49ers. Well done, man.
Nobody else can say that on the network.
And you can also help me make Peacock and Williamson the most popular show on the network, along with Locked On 49ers. Knock Croc out of the top spot with Locked On NFL Draft if you want to as well. Thanks, everybody, for listening.
Hold on real quick. You got to tell, I mean, how many podcasts do we have on the network? So for, like, to say that, that's not like a small feat. I mean, there are tons. There were some people that were like, man, I didn't know that the Locked On crew was that deep. Like, dude, there are tons of podcasts on this network. So to have Locked On Draft and 49ers be the number one and number two podcast during that time, that was amazing. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, no, that is really cool. And there was a ton of a really good podcasts and really good hosts, and it was really cool to see the flex of the network during the live NFL draft coverage too. So that was really cool. Oh, here we, is that Pickle?
To get some food.
Yeah, you're hungry.
All right, it's dinner time. Right. It's dinner time for Pickle. For Eric Crocker and Brian Peacock, thanks everybody for making Locked On 49ers your first listen. We'll be back Sunday night on YouTube, Monday morning, first thing. Locked On 49ers.